I spoke to a great auntie of mine. She lives in Israel. She is in a deep 90s. She remembers very well my great grandfather, who was nifta 1939. She's got clear memories of him, and she escaped Hungary and Czechoslovakia in 1935 or 1936. She escaped, and she's got clear memories of that. So I said, you know what, now that I know how to use Zoom, I don't know why my children are laughing, but now that I know how to use Zoom pretty much, I said, you know, I'm going to try to make a Zoom meeting with her. And we did, and I had a fascinating conversation with her. And one of the things she told me, my great auntie, who is 90, I don't know, she's, can I know, she, Meike Cheshman, she was born in the 19, she remembers, I mean, she escaped when she was 10 years old, she told me, 1936. So she must have been, born in the 1920s. So she told me that one thing that she really feels has changed so much. I said, tell me something has really changed. She told me something really interesting. She lives in Yerushalayim. So she feels that what she really feels has changed so much, that people used to enjoy life so much more than nowadays. So that she feels, obviously, she was a child in the 1930s. She was only young. But she feels that people were so much more in touch, and they enjoyed life so much more than now. She feels that people are so much... She's not talking about now, the crisis now. She's not referring to that. She's referring generally. She feels that people are so often under such immense pressure. And she feels that... You know, she said she remembers the towns of Meshuggah. You know, every city and every village has a Meshuggah, you know. And she remembers the towns of Meshuggah, and she remembers the funny people and the strange people in town. And they said, everybody was just happy. People were happy. People were poor people, strange people, affluent people, rabbinic people. People were happy. People were generally much more happy than people are nowadays. Now, obviously, this is eyes of a child. She was then a child, and now she's a... And obviously, things as a child look different and they appear different. But I still felt it was an interesting observation that she made, that she feels that there's something about a person's happiness and a person's... something has just changed over the last couple of generations. So I think that was something interesting to note and to think about. So, how we increase happiness in Simchas HaChaim, not sure, but it's something... I just want to share that with you because it's an interesting conversation with a 90-something-year-old lady. Okay. Okay, we carry on. We are up to Simon Tov Samach, and we are learning tonight Seif Gimel on top, on bottom of page 116. Let's carry on. Alosh Achazman is so far. We spoke about the baking of matzahs, by which ideally should precede Yom Tov, of course. What happens if somebody bakes and needs matzahs after Zman Issur? We have mentioned that when it comes to the baking of matzahs, there's actually an inyan to bake matzahs after Chatzos on Erev Pesach. We learned, just like the Korban Pesach was done at that time, similarly also the baking of matzahs ideally should be done at a time. It's obviously very hard to actually fulfill that, but there is such an Indian. It's a great, very nice chumrah to do, is to bake matzahs on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Now the downside of this is that it's Zman Issur already. And if it's Zman Issur, it's a time of Issur already. So really anything that is not being baked is inevitably going to become chumrah. Because whatever is baked and is great. Great, it's a matzah. But whatever is not managed to be baked is obviously going to become chametz. And if you've got chametz on a random Tuesday, 2 weeks before Pesach, that's alright. But if you've got chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, that's not such great news. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us the following halacha. Halosh achazman issa, somebody who needs matzahs after the time of issa of chametz, Yoimai shall say, Peshas Lisha, as is kneading the dough, he should say, Kol Peurim, all the crumbs, Sheyiplu, that fall away, Peshas Lisha, during the kneading, if there's any bits and pieces of my dough which is falling and is becoming chametz, ve'arichen, this anything I'm preparing now, ve'chein botzek, and similarly also the dough, hanitbak, which is sticking, pekelim onto the vessels. Now, all this, ani mevatel, oisom, I am mevatlit, I'm nullifying it, kedei, in order, shenimtza, shemevatel, kodim, chimutzan, that everything becomes bottle before you actually becomes chometz. So it is an advance notification that the matzah baker has to announce that everything that is not becoming matzah and is going to inevitably going to become chometz, I'm nullifying, now it becomes bitul. Obviously I've got to do that before it becomes chometz, but in the process I'm saying now I'm nullifying it. The Mishnebura says in Seif Kotten Yud Aleph that it's important to say the following: Oi, I'm about to some. I'm about late. Oi, hani mafkir some. Oh, I am mafkid. The wording of hefker is equally acceptable and good. But you shouldn't say peru in hefker. You should not say that the peru in hefker already. That the enolosh mevurish mafkir, and that's not. You can't make a statement. You can't state the fact that it is hefker. Rather, you should announce that I want to make it hefker. I want to make it mevutel. And rather than saying it is hefker, that it's not good. You want to make it rather than stating a fact. We move on to Seif Dalet. Ein oisin, different aloha. Ein oisin sri kina metziorim. Fascinating aloha. You may not make sri kina metziorim. You know, once you're baking the matzahs, you may not make them in a particular shape. You may not make it in a shape. Ein oisin sri kina metziorim. Dehainu, letzaye bepas, kemin chaye v'oif. Don't engrave it into a certain shape or form. So say you want to make the matzah this year as a marketing spin. Instead of having regular matzahs, you want to have them a different shape. This year you're going to go for elephant shaped matzahs, just to increase the, you know, it's good, it's going to go quite well, elephant matzahs, or perhaps bat, even better, in theme with the year. You want bat shaped matzahs, and in order so can you do that or not, to engrave either within the matzah a shape of a nice beautiful bat, or you want to make the actual matzah in a certain shape, or you know what, you want to make it, you want a nice kind of pattern with matzah. So the halacha is, ein oisin tzirikin ametziorin, you may not make it out of a former shape. So people really did that. People really made matzahs out of a bird shape. Bird shape matters. I don't know which bird, but they made out of a bird shape. Avol, but kol ma she'osin oisin b'masrik. But on the other hand, what you are allowed to do, you are allowed to make with a masrik, which is the equivalent of a fork, sharp indentations. Kidei, in order shelo yisbach, that it doesn't blow up. The matters stay nice and thin, as opposed to blowing up. But pinching the holes and making the holes within the matzahs, that's acceptable mutter. Because here you're not making a certain shape, you're not trying to make a certain form out of it, rather the only reason why you're doing those holes is for it not to blow up. Nevertheless, although you have made the holes, nevertheless, you should hurry up, try to make them as soon and as quick as possible. Don't be tempted to leave it just because you're making the holes. Make it as quick as possible. Let's stop here because the Ramo is talking about something else in a minute. About the Sri Kina Matsyom. It is fascinating. So you've got new Dalit. Ideally, don't make it out of a shape. Nevertheless, it's still fine. Say if you find a matzah which has got a strange shape, b'diavad it's fine. The reason why you're not allowed to do that is for the following reason. Because you're going to be busy trying to make the shape, trying to make the design nice and fancy. So because of that, you're going to spend time on it and you're not going to forget yourself in that design. And it's going to be taking too long, and therefore the matzah is not going to be as quick as it's meant to be. And because of that, he might end up being chametz steak. Therefore, we are not allowed to make shapes out of the matzahs. Even if you're engraving it, still no good. It takes a second just to engrave it. Nevertheless, you may not do that. Everything is forbidden. No shapes, no designs in the matzah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yeah. If modern people buy handmade matzahs, it's a bit off the subject, but people buy handmade matzahs in a box, and when you open them, they're mostly broken. Isn't that made for the person who's made them and selling them, because you bought something which you can't really use now because the matzahs are broken? And I've had, I don't buy them anymore, but years ago, I used to buy, and when you open the packet, most of the matzahs are broken. So I'm thinking, well, hold on a minute, I've paid for a product which should be a whole matzah that's not broken, and I could use them for the Seder because they're broken. Isn't that like Geneva from the person or the manufacturer who sold it?
How can the manufacturer take responsibility for ensuring that the matzah doesn't break some way between when it leaves the factory and when it arrives on the guy's table? We can't, the manufacturer can't respond to that. It's impossible.
But then you've paid for a product which you can't use.
So halachically, the way I understand is there is a general understanding that you will not expect all the matzahs to be complete. At the same time, you're also right that if they're all broken, you're probably right that it's not quite right to sell them like that. But I agree with Yossel as well that he can't take responsibility for all that happens. But there is an etzer that if you take the matzahs and you put them over the fire, you can remodel them and re-complete them, as it were. According to many poskim, you can take the broken matzahs, put them over the fire, and then the edges, they will now be considered complete, according to many poskim. But yeah, it's an issue. Now, okay. Going back to the shaila of the shaped matzahs, the matzahs discussed over here, there is a problem over here, really, because it's a serious problem, and the problem is that what is the reason why you cannot make the matzahs out of a design? What's the reason why not? The Mishnah Berurah told us the reason is.
Isn't it Avodah Zorah?
No. No Avodah Zorah within that.
Not within that?
No.
If you made it like a bird sign or something?
No. No, in theory you could do that. As far as Avodah Zorah is concerned. But you can't. And the reason is because, as we learned, Sif Kotten Yudalet.
Let's try something.
Yeah, exactly. As the Mishnah Berurah says, you're going to be busy with it. You're going to start making designs and everything, and it's going to end up being chometz. Now, this is very strange. It's really, truly strange, because we know there is a halacha of koisev and moichek on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're not allowed to write, you're not allowed to make a design, and similarly also, you're not allowed to be moichet, you're not allowed to erase. Now, just like there's a halacha, you're not allowed to take a rubber and start rubbing over a bird which was on a pencil, you're not allowed to rub it, because now you're doing meleches moichet, erasing. Similarly also, whenever you've got a shape made out of something, which is a shape for the sake of it being a shape, and you're dismantling it, you are destroying it, you are you're undoing it, that is also considered melachas moichek. An example of that is, a little bit of an example, is the wrappings that we have. Right, we try not to tear the wrappings over the writing, over the signs, because you're going through your moichek. It's moichek. Now, I know it's not a complete comparison, but the concept of not doing moichek over something which is a symbol or a writing. So if so, why is the Mishnah Berurah telling us, don't make matzahs out of a bird shape. Don't make matzahs out of an elephant shape. Don't be tempted to bake matzahs in a giraffe shape, because you're going to end up being busy, it's going to end up being matzahs. Well, you can't have those matzahs anyway, because if you, how are you going to eat a giraffe shaped matzah on Yom Tov? How are you going to eat it? Oh, Derech Achila. Very nice. So you are already saying something very interesting. Very good. So you're good. Let me just finish the question. But you're probably right. But let's just finish the question. The poskim say that really moichek also applies to any shape, any design that you're making. You're breaking it. You're over melechez moichek. So you can't eat those matzahs anyway. You can't eat them anyway because you're going to be over melechez moichek. Now, the suggestion given is, a brat tells us that it's okay, because we know there's a heter of Derech Achila. Where do we find Derech Achila? Where are you coming from?
If you have a cookie in the shape of an animal.
Right.
So you can eat that for the same reason, or maybe a cake in the shape of something.
Yeah, it's excellent. Very good. So the Emma says, you're right, but it still remains a bit of a mystery. There's a chiddush which is brought down. It comes from the Achoinim, Dr. Mavov, and other Achoinim, who are mechadish that such a heta exists. It doesn't seem to be in line with what we find in Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. It's a chiddush which is in Simon Shin Mem, which is from Dr. Mavov, that a mechadish that with Derech Achila, if you're eating it, there is a leniency that applies, and many poskim agree to that. Mishnah Berurah also seems to go with it. That if you are mamash literally eating something, it seems to be okay. However, the mystery within that is that Shulchan Aruch and Ramah doesn't seem to be holding of that. There's all discussion over there in Meleches Koisim Simon Shin Mem about going through cakes, cutting birthday cakes, and it says happy birthday on it, and you want to cut through it. And it's not supposed you can do that at all. So the later poskim allow it under certain circumstances. But in the Ramah, it's mavur that it's also. So the question is, in the early authorities, there seems to be a lack of consistency here. Over there, we seem to be answering it. You're right, halacha lemaisa, there might be a heta. But in the Shulchan Aruch over here seems to be assuming there's such a heta, which over there he assumes that the heta doesn't exist at all. It remains a bit of a mystery. It remains a bit of a mystery why over here it seems to be that he can do that. Halacha lemaisa, either way, the reason why he cannot do that is because Lefisha Shoya Leo Letzion, you're gonna be busy making a shape. Now, the Ramah continues, and the Ramah says the following. Now, with regards to the shapes of the actual matzahs, it says make sure they're rekikin, thin matzahs, veloy pas avo, and not thick matzahs. Keshal lechem, unlike bread, which obviously is thick. Why? It's because the thinner they are, the quicker they bake, i.e. the less likely they are to become matzahs. Thin. And that is the minik. Now, what does it mean? What is the Shulchan Aruch? What is Shulchan Aruch? The Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Tezayin Rekikin, Haynu after Mavur B'Sifei Tepochs Mitefach Mutalasos. Although we're going to see later in Sifei that anything which is less than a tefach, so that's a tefach. Anything which is less than a tefach is actually okay. Nevertheless, Mikol Mokem Nochan Yosel Lachatchil LeLasos Rekikin Dak. Nevertheless, Lachatchil, we try to make them really thin. Gentlemen, we have a Ramah that says that it is advisable and correct to make the matzahs thin, rekikin, very thin. This is the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold that. Therefore, as we know, the Ramah is the minhag of the Ashkenazim. The Sfadim tend to go with the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch don't have that such hakpada, therefore. The Shulchan Aruch and the Sfadim, therefore, have no hakpada and no halacha to ensure the matzahs are thin. As long as they are baked within the time scale, you can have matzahs which are up to a tefach thick. Anybody seen such a thing? Sfarish and matzahs?
We got a picture.
You have to ask Rabbi Feingold for the picture.
Rabbi Feingold, can we have a picture? Can't hear you.
I'm
working on it. Okay.
So that's our meaning is to have very, very thin matzahs. The reason is obvious, because they're much likely to bake very quickly. For us, it is also to eat matzahs which are that thick. More on this tomorrow, Yemir Hashem. But it's a the Ramah says our meaning is to ensure our matzahs are really, really thin. It's a skill to produce the right thickness. Because if they are not completely thin, if they are that little bit too thick, then they are not going to be baked thoroughly. Our matzahs are baked in literally seconds. I'm sure you've all been to matzahs. They're literally, literally baked in seconds, especially hand matzahs are baked in literally seconds, and that's the way it's meant to be. If they're really thin, that's what actually happens. One more minute, which is not brought down in the Mishnah, but it's brought down in the Poskim over here, is the shape of the matzahs. Hand matzahs are round. So we learned not to make shape out of it. Alright, but they're round. It is not just practicality to have round matzahs. In theory, you could make them oval. In theory, you can make them squares, quite hard to make, but in theory, you could make them other shapes. It's not just practicality. Why are matzahs, hand matzahs, round? The answer for that is brought down in some of the Achronim in Maria Sad writes, because how are matzahs called in the Pasuk? How do you remember? Ugois matzois. They're called ugois matzois. Now ugois, I know nowadays it means cakes, but ugois really comes from the Lashon igul. Igul is a circle. Magal, igul, is a circle. So since the Pasuk calls the matzahs ugois matzois, the Maria Sart writes, therefore the minhag has been since ever that the matzahs are round, ugois matzois. So what do we do about the machine matzahs, which are not ugois matzois? They are normally pretty square. Now, I seem to remember hearing that there used to be machine matzahs which are round. I don't think they're manufactured anymore. But what do we do about machine matzahs not being ugois matzois?
I do remember years ago there was bonds matzahs, and I think you can get the smaller ones were round.
Round, there you go. Ugois matzois, even machine matzahs.
The big ones, but the tea matzahs they used to call them, I think they were round.
There you go. Yes, Rabbi Feingold. Rabbi Feingold, you... A bit more. Sure, once again, it was very good. A bit more. It's not a tefach, you're right. Tefach would be also, but it is, how many of our matzahs will fit in it? Quite a few. It's much thicker. They are soft. So, So, fine. So, the mice, for them it is, the Shulchan Aruch says, it's fine for them, as long as they're not full tefach. But our minhag is to have rikikin, which are thin matzahs. Now, so that's what we cover this evening. Let's just summarize what we learned. We learned about somebody who bakes matzahs after Zman Issu. After Zman Issu, the halach is, somebody who bakes matzah after Zman Issu, he should be mevatel all the crumbs and the bits and pieces which will fall off, lest they will become chametz. So you mevatel as you bake. Obviously, this is only if you bake after Zman Issu. We also learned that the matzah should not be made out of a fancy design or shape. The reason for that is because we don't want him to delay the baking. He's going to be too busy with the design. He's going to forget himself. It's going to become chametz. Therefore, consistently, we don't allow any shapes whatsoever within the matzahs. This is even true if you had a mold. You can put a mold over it. It takes a second. Tak, 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 tak. Nevertheless, it would be also because the loy plug, you're going to be busy with the shape already, forget it. We categorically don't allow any shapes. The exception for that is the holes, which obviously the holes are fine because that releases it's better because that bakes quicker that way and it doesn't blow up. We also learned about the thickness of the matzahs. The meaning is to make them rekikin, to make them thin, not to make them thick. And the reason for that is because it doesn't become chametz. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, in Tzifei. Okay, good. I wish you all a very good evening, gentlemen.